This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Now is the chance to use reliable energy to grow your money with the Dominion Energy Reliability Investment. Our new investment product offers competitive returns, no maintenance fees, and flexible online access to your money. Make the reliable investment in reliable energy. The Dominion Energy Reliability Investment. To find out more, go online to reliabilityinvestment.com. That's reliabilityinvestment.com.
Everybody should definitely come to Baltimore.
We had to find a different way to put our passion to work.
If you love your job and love what you do, every day goes on as you want it.
I think how we look at art can be world-changing.
All of these businesses are taking precautions to make sure that everyone is safe. We're ready.
Masks, distancing, and frequent cleaning are just the beginning. Learn more at baltimore.org.
Good evening and welcome along to the LFC Day Trippers. I'm Stephen Daly and tonight I'm joined by Dave Thomas, Andy Young and Pod Debutant Shane Davern. We will briefly run through the game against Augsburg on Thursday, our 1-0 win. We'll have another in-depth look at yesterday's game versus City, unfortunate penalty shootout defeat, and we'll quickly look over the City game coming up on Wednesday in the Premiership. Okay, first up is the game against Augsburg, which seems like a fucking year ago at this stage, but only last Thursday.
We're in Augsburg?
Yeah.
Okay, hang on.
Yeah, LFC Day Drivers.
Let me just
top notch preparation.
Like yeah.
Okay. Pretend like you watched it, yeah. Fair enough. So yeah, with the game 1-0 win, I suppose an early goal scored. What do you make of it, Andy?
What did I make of it? The game, yeah. Or just the result?
No, the game.
I'd rather talk about the result.
Would you? I think we'd all rather just skim over.
Oh, it was a penalty.
Yeah, it was a penalty.
Yeah, Milner scored.
Yeah, I remember. It's all flooding back to me now.
Milner scored a penalty.
Yeah, he's got a penalty. He's the number five.
Yeah. Yeah. Scored a penalty.
Yeah.
Never mind. Scored that way through the next round.
Yeah, we've got United in the next round.
Great. Paddy's Day.
Second leg.
Paddy's Day, Cheltenham, Old Trafford, through the next round. Loving it.
Parade.
Yeah.
Out for the parade. Yeah. Out for a few pints.
Yeah.
Has it been moved? I heard talk there during the week that United had applied to UEFA to have the game moved from 6 to 8. Any news on that, or has anybody heard
of it? It'll be 2 8 clocks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so for the traffic purposes for both teams, because Paddy's Day Parade, Manchester City.
Yeah.
I haven't heard.
Right,
I mean,
the M62
would be crazy, wouldn't it?
It'd be ridiculous having that game at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, it's going to be some atmosphere though, because it's a bank holiday. Everybody's going to be on the fucking piss for the Thursday, and in be it a 6 o'clock or an 8 o'clock kickoff.
Fucking typical. The United have discovered the new George Best and started winning fucking all their games just as we have to play them.
Their new Mankata.
Jesus Christ! Well, the new Danny Welbeck.
Yeah,
that's who he is.
Yeah,
is he going to Euros?
Hodgie's definitely taking it. He only needs one more goal between now and the end of the season. One injury, and Hodgie's taking it. Yeah.
Okay, so we'll skip over the old Augsburg game, and
although what I would say was the third clean sheet in a row that we put together. So to be fair, the defensive side of things is looking better. You know, if you look at the last four, five games.
Even yesterday. Yeah, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, okay, there's
yesterday we weren't conceding only for a mental goalkeeper.
Well, you can say that, but then he makes
Sterling being shite.
Yeah, exactly. He made we do have gaps there. There was one point where Lucas came bailing out and gave them a great chance in the second half. But in saying that, for a back four of what it was, I thought it was quite solid.
I thought we, look, the reality is, if you wrote down our centre back combinations, how far down the page would you have to go
before Touré and Lucas?
Touré and Lucas, right? Yes. So, I mean, to be fair, like, I thought to keep Aguero, I mean, nearly redeemed himself, but to keep Aguero.
The best striker in the league.
Quiet. Yeah. Oh, not quiet, but to keep him out then, it was good. I thought Lucas was very good. Actually, though, Torre was good when he came on.
Yeah.
I thought he played really well. And it just shows what a bit of experience at the back actually does. Because as good as Sacco is from an athletic perspective and performance perspective, he is prone to the odd switch off and, you know, just not being aware of those big game moments. And I thought actually Torre brought a bit of stability.
Before his head injury, though, he started the game fairly shaky.
It's been a long time since Sacco had a good game, actually.
Yeah, drilling balls into midfield, which you can't control.
Yeah, but if he wasn't doing that, they were just aimless passes. Yeah. You know what I mean? Forward, just
the way the two lads that play so high, Moreno and Klein, they do play very high. I'm sure that's the way he wants them to play. But when you play that high, it's imperative that if you're treading balls into midfield, you keep hold of the ball.
You've got to hold on to it, yeah.
And if you don't, look where the goal came from, really. The Moreno was caught high.
Yeah. Well, the Sacco to Can pass is like our worst pass because Sacco always hits it too hard. And Can, like, I don't know what he's doing sometimes. Sometimes he like pirouettes on the ball and like takes two players with him. Other times he punts it 30 yards back towards the goalkeeper. I wish he was more consistent with what he was doing with the ball. Say what you like with Joe Allen. I'm not advocating Joe Allen should play ahead of Emre Can, but when he gets the ball, he always controls it and he always turns. It's almost like one movement that he controls and it turns. Even Lucas does that.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Doesn't protect the possession enough.
I like him, but if he's losing the ball in the final third, that's one thing. If you're losing the ball, you know, in the D or in the centre circle, that's a different thing. Particularly the way we play, as you said, with fullbacks so far up.
Yeah, he's still very young, but I think in the next 18 months we need to find out what type of midfielder he is. Because what is he at the minute? He's not a defensive midfielder. He's not a fucking screen in front of the back four. Yeah. He's not a deep line.
Supposedly he's box to box. You know, I didn't watch him at all in Jeremy's voice.
Yeah, in terms of this season, he's got, since Klopp came in, he's got a huge amount of time in midfield, and I still can't work out what he is.
I think he's better further forward. Personally, I think if we're looking forward to next season, you know. Actually, I think all three midfielders could find themselves not in the team. Really.
Well, I was just going to say...
Grujic play straight away?
I mean, he's going to buy a defensive midfielder, right?
I think that could be Grujic, because he wanted him to stay...
No, he plays box-to-box, I think.
Does he?
Yeah. Okay, so I think he's more... When he described himself, he said, I'm ahead of Lucas and behind Coutinho. That's kind of where I play.
In between Klopp
describes him. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, it's going to be a defensive midfielder and then two in front, right?
Yeah.
And it's going to be two of this Grujic guy...
Yeah.
I think we might even buy another centre midfielder, to be honest with you, if Lucas and Alan both go, and then Can, Henderson, Milner.
We still don't have that centre midfielder who gets on the ball and actually dictates, do we?
And that's what he needs.
Yeah, that's what Can tries to do.
But he does it poorly.
He's nearly a wasted player when he's playing deep, because he just takes the ball off the defender. Like, you can understand Rodgers' logic last season when he played him in the centre-back, when he used to come out with the ball, because... Yeah. He's a wasted player. What he's doing now, picking the ball off like Sacco or Lucas yesterday or Torre, when they can do exactly the same thing. So he just gets it off them 5 yards, runs on and then plays a 5 or 6 yard ball left or right.
Yeah, I'd play
he's
him.
Not the type of player like
Xavi Alonso,
it
was totally different.
Had more in his locker.
Exactly, it was an intelligent player who picked out the right pass at the right time, found space, got the ball in a position that was going to take the bit of pressure off. Yeah. But my point is, Alonso was panic.
Yeah, Alonso was Chan's age, if maybe a year older when he signed for us.
But I think a better comparison is, and I'm not saying that it's the same class at all, but a better comparison is Yaya Touré. Yaya Touré at Barcelona played defensive midfielder.
Yes, he did, yeah.
And then he comes to City and suddenly they realise that that's just a waste of having him there because he's so physical. He's got that change of pace, that acceleration, which Can does as well. So for me, Can plays on the left or right of a three, not as the deepest player.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just don't think he's good enough to play there. You know,
there's other people that argue he is, but I don't think he is.
I don't think he's a great gamer.
He doesn't have the short, sharp pace over the first 5 yards when you need it.
Let's say Gerrard had to.
Mascherano, just to get across.
Because you see him when he controls the ball, he's very awkward controlling the ball. It comes into his feet and he's looking down at the ball.
Yeah.
He doesn't actually, like, you know.
Doesn't take it in his stride.
Your first touch should be 2 touches.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Joanna.
Do you know what I mean?
As good as 2 touches.
As good as 2 touches.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But he's not that.
He also has to play for
the... Unfortunately, his first touch is 2 touches.
Yeah, exactly. And he also wants to play further ahead because he keeps attacking. You know, for a defensive midfielder, he doesn't sit. He goes all the time.
And unfortunately, we're in a position, would you agree, Shane, that Henderson hasn't been half the player he was over the last couple of seasons since he came back from his heel injury.
Yeah.
Like, he's got the industry to get around the pitch, but what he's doing with the ball... Even his impact in terms of getting back and really those lung bursting runs where he used to get back and protect, he's not giving us that either.
His performance lately, worrying, I'd say, to say the least. He's definitely, whatever he's come out saying that the injury isn't affecting him, it definitely is.
Yeah.
The heel injury.
He's nervous still about it.
It's definitely affecting him. And like you said, I don't even think he's getting around the pitch as well as he can. He slipped over. He think he played the ball. I put Aguero in for one of Mignolet's saves, didn't he?
Yeah.
Tried to take a touch and he fell over. Mm. Played him in. His situation would be worrying. Even for himself, like what Dave said earlier, there could be more central midfield players being signed.
Yeah. Well, I think the armband's weighing heavy on him as well.
Yeah.
Like, he's not a captain. I thought he was before.
So did I.
Yeah. You know, I did think he was, but the more I look at him, the more I go, no. He's the guy you put next to the captain.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
He's a perfect vice captain.
Exactly. Yeah. He's a perfect vice captain.
He's got second.
Yeah.
And maybe he'll be a great captain when he gets to 29, 30, maybe. You know. But
he just can't be the best. But, you know, I read an article, I think it was, I can't remember where I read it, and someone's like, you know, Liverpool are a 9 out of 10 club and they have a 7 out of 10 team.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? So basically we're a big club and we don't have players in the team that have the stature, apart from maybe our front three. But if you go behind that front three, the spine of the team is very... It's not that they're bad players, they're good players. In fact, they'd all get into, you know, top four squad. Or not all of them, but a lot of them will get into top four scores. But just that quality that you had through the team, you know, like a dominant centre-half, a dominant midfield player, and a dominant goalkeeper.
Yeah.
It just makes such a difference.
In terms of the squad, and in terms of our average players, like, you know, our kind of, you know, 7 out of 10... It is a better team. It is a better squad than probably we've seen, like, even over the Rafa times.
Yeah.
But we don't have the superstars. We don't have the Torres, the Mascherano's, the Lanzo, the Gerrards, the Hippie, Carragher, Reina. Like, we just don't have the probably 4, 5. Probably a bit of potential there. For I thought Henderson would, the injuries that they're setting him back a lot, and his performance has been terrible lately.
Yeah.
But it's not the worst thing either, because even when Henderson was playing well, he wasn't producing enough in the box.
Mm-hmm.
He was scuffing chances and he wasn't getting enough assists. For a box-to-box player, for a box who's player who's always up there, he wasn't doing enough.
He was great at them.
So it's no harm.
The toward man run from midfield, you used to see him getting, he got a goal against Spurs when he hammered on way hard laying on. You'd see him doing that regular, even if you're not getting on the end of it, but he'd make the midfield like think about going with him now and they wouldn't get him, but he's not even doing that.
No, he's not.
That's an awful lot of that anymore, though.
There is. He's unfortunately playing now the way people who didn't appreciate him when he was at his best said the type of player he was, if that makes sense. So he's now showing those people that they were right at the time when they were wrong.
Well,
that
I think
makes sense.
I think all of Henderson's best games have come under Rodgers when he's basically abandoned any defensive mindset. Like, Henderson is at his best when we're just attacking.
Yeah.
You know, because that's that third man run, that joining in the attacking play. But because Klopp, and this is why I think he might be in a bit of trouble keeping his place. Now, I'm not saying we should sell Henderson, he's a very good player, we should keep him. But I do think Klopp's asking so much of them tactically
Yeah.
that I think his head must be, he can't cope with it.
Mm.
He physically can do it, but he's just getting lost. So when he gets in the final third, like his delivery's always been up and down, but because he's doing it so infrequently now, it just looks so terrible.
We look like a squad desperately in need of pre-season, if that makes sense. Yeah, actually, just stop playing games. Yeah. Let everybody just rest up.
We won't have that because there'll be players coming back from the Euros now.
I know, and you're going to be under pressure. The only thing you can hope is if we have Europa again, if that's unfortunately all we get, is that Klopp has the faith in the younger players, the ones that he's had the chance to work with while the Euros are on.
But I don't think we're going
to go through the early round.
I don't think we're unless we win the Euro. I think it's a Champions League or bust. We're either going to win the Europa League or we're going to finish eighth.
Yeah, but we're already in.
I don't think that's true. Runners up in the League Cup. I don't think they do.
It's just FA Cup.
I think it's just the FA Cup. Now, don't quote me on that, but I'm sure I read somewhere
that it just goes an extra league place.
It's the league.
I
love that.
I remember Bradford got to the final. You couldn't see them. It was Swansea didn't qualify to the league to get in, but had Swansea.
Don't quote me, but I'm pretty sure that the runners up in the League Cup don't get a place.
Okay.
I could be wrong there.
I've already said I don't think that would be the worst thing, and I'm actually a fan of the Europa League. I think it's a great way to get into the Champions League if you can't get in top four. But I think Klopp could really deal with not having those extra games. Saying that, Pochettino is nearly where Klopp will be next season, in the sense if he's in his second season with Spurs.
We hope so anyway.
And you know, he's second in the league, he's managing the Europa League.
But Spurs is a great example, and everyone's going, oh my God, we need to get rid of the whole squad. No, we don't. Spurs, if you look at their squad, they brought Alderweireld, who's made just a hell of a difference at centre-half, and he repurposed Eric Dier as a defensive midfielder.
Yeah.
But they haven't done anything else.
They added that
Son guy, who's a very, who's turned out
to be
very
good. Versatile.
But it's not like they've... Like all the players, Lamella, Chadley, all these players that everyone was saying.
But if Kane isn't performing as good as he was.
So it's not like they're just riding Kane's coattails. Yeah. So Pochettino's actually the model for everyone going, we should. Klopp said himself, he's not signing seven players.
No.
You know, he's just not doing it.
I think he'll sign four.
Yeah.
I think that's probably what. I don't know.
Okay, so he's brought in Matip and he's brought in Grujic. So he's going to probably look for
four more.
That's six lads.
Yeah.
It all depends.
On who goes.
No fucking way. I'm not signing seven. Yeah. Six, absolutely.
I would be one bit surprised if Sturridge goes along with Benteke, and he's just boys a fresh striker who's going to stay fit.
Yeah, well, Sturridge doesn't look.
It doesn't seem like they have much of a relationship at all. It's ever going to work.
Well,
together.
I think with Sturridge. Watching the last few games, nothing about his injury. I think he might have to fill a role now rather than being like the main man. Suarez was the main man, but when he left, and it was all about get stories back. But I think he might have to play to stay, play a role in the team rather than
be the main man. Where is his role?
I disagree with that though. Apart from yesterday, I think he's been very good since he's come back.
I don't know. I'm not going to say. I wouldn't say.
Like in the first game against Augsburg, when he came on, he was the best player on the pitch, by a mile. Yeah. When he came on, and then in the second leg against Augsburg, we win 1-0. He misses a sitter. He's knitting the play together really nice. We should have scored three or four goals that game. And okay, then the City game. He was probably poor yesterday, but everyone was.
He spent an awful lot of time coming very deep.
Yeah, that's the problem. I do agree with that.
That was a bit Balotelli.
He wants to play as a 10. Why is he trying to play as a 10?
I don't know if it was that. I think if you go, I said it in the group when we were chatting. The actual quality of ball to him yesterday was absolutely abysmal, and the amount of times he asked for a ball in a certain place. And it wasn't played there. Yeah. And he became frustrated as the game was going
mad.
And he wanted to get on the ball. And that's understandable. 9 times out of 10, you'll agree, probably, Shane, a striker will drop and try and get involved in the play. If he's not getting the ball, he's going to want to get a touch on the ball because if a chance does come across and he hasn't had a touch of the ball in 15 minutes,
that's not ideal either. So.
No. And Klopp does ask him to run around a lot, so he's probably be like, fuck this, I'm just doing that. That's what I was getting at though as well.
I've said loads of times when he's been talking about Benteke, he doesn't need a player that's just going to prop up a goal in a 10-second piece of play.
He needs him for 90 minutes.
He wants him involved. I don't know whether Sturridge has that in him.
I know Jezema.
I don't know what he's physically capable of.
I'd be massively surprised to see him go on the summer. Yeah. I'd be massively surprised. But I know where you're coming from on that.
I reckon he's only an offer away from being sold.
Really?
Yeah. And it's probably going to, you probably won't get a decent enough offer to make it worthwhile.
I don't think there's a single player in that squad. The Klopp is so, maybe Emery Can aside, the Klopp is so wedded.
But I wouldn't even say, we're only making that assumption because he just seems like the German understanding.
Yeah.
But like,
so actually,
hard to look across that thing.
Yeah. Who I'd Klopp actually, is going, yeah. There is no way I'm selling.
I'd actually say probably Firmino and Coutinho. They're probably the two that I'd say he's looking at them and saying, they give me the work rate, they come up with the goods, you know, enough of the time to keep them around.
Only because he wouldn't have enough money to do it all in once. But I don't think we have a single player that we couldn't upgrade easily.
Coutinho's a luxury player, isn't he? Yeah. Like, in fairness, he drifts in and out of games, he comes up with magic moments, he's not working his balls off all through the game. He's not a lazy fucker by any means. But he's not like Firmino, work rate, or Henderson, or Milner, or all these players that he really kind of seems to like.
I don't know. I always get the feeling that I don't know the stats, and I can hate looking at stats when it comes to, you know, how many kilometers or how many whatever.
But on field, on watch,
I always look at him and think to myself, he does put in a good shift. I see him, and he's over there yesterday, and he was closing down early, and he was dropping back into midfield to give a dig out, and he's dropping in maybe 15 yards inside their half, picking up the ball, playing a pass, and bursting his balls to get by again. So
the problem is, I think for Klopp, like, I don't think he sees that front three.
I'd like to see Coutinho a bit deeper.
I don't think he sees Coutinho as a front three.
Not like Alonso, obviously, but. Yeah.
Modric isn't physically imposing, but he gets on that ball and he has the eye for the pass and the way the game should be played. And maybe sometimes Coutinho's too far ahead of the game for where we are as a team and how we're playing at the moment.
Because I think Klopp's ideal system, and he's kind of hinted at it a little bit, is you've got a striker, you've got a Firmino, which is kind of a half and half, and then you've got a winger.
Mm.
And I think if you look at Dortmund, like, that's kind of how they played. You had Lewandowski. With Royce, who was kind of the winger, and then, well, I can never pronounce his name, that'll be anything, whatever his name is. Another kind of semi striker who played with it. So I think he's looking at it going, I'll have Sturridge or whoever I buy, and then Firmino. But I'm not sure Coutinho's his other guy, because he says he wants a winger. So I don't think Coutinho's his other guy.
Yeah, listen, you know, Coutinho is the sort of player you're absolutely going to be playing 30, 35 times a season. So
what about Teixeira that he was linked with? Like, he wanted him, obviously, it was too much money.
I think he was his winger.
Yeah. Well, he could play across the front three, see. Coutinho is more of a middle three player than a front three player. Whereas Firmino is a front three player.
Yeah.
Sturridge is a front three player. So maybe I'm being too specific by saying it's a winger. I just think he wants another goal scorer, another out and out attacker.
We do still lack pace.
Well, Klopp's whole thing is winning the ball off people's mistake and punish them like lightning quick, bang, straight in. And for that, you need pace.
Yeah.
And you need players who don't want three touches.
Yeah.
And Coutinho always wants three touches. Yeah. And he's brilliant sometimes, when he gives that third touch. But he wants bang, goal. That's what he wants. Yeah. And I just think that's what he's going to be looking for.
Yeah, listen, you know, the great thing is we have a summer ahead whereby we really do not know what we're going to get. And that's because the manager has control and you find yourself trusting him.
Yeah, I'm out of faith.
I wouldn't have any issues.
Unless he spends actual money on a fullback. Because we should not spend money on fullbacks.
Well, I'd love to see a sign, Rodriguez.
But it's loud down.
Unless we have fixed everything and we still have a couple of bob left, fine, go and buy a fullback. Mm. But we have enough people who can play at fullback. I mean, Milner played an hour at fullback. Fuck that, buying fullbacks for fucking 10 million.
Could easily be a place from James Milner's fullback.
Absolutely. Mm. And he could do a job there, is my point. On the left hand side, you've got Moreno, Flanagan. Milner can play there and Gomez can play there, right? Yeah. And then on the right hand side, you've got Klein, Flanagan, Gomez, Smith can play left. You've got Randall can play right. We should not spend a penny.
I don't think we will.
Well, Carragher today is going, they need to sign a left back. No, they fucking don't.
Because Moreno's poor.
Everybody's getting on Moreno's case now. Like, he was, I think it's because he was supposed to be a long term solution and answer.
I think people
potentially the Spanish left fold
going overboard on Moreno.
Oh, but listen, Real want him, so it's grand.
I mean, apart from his back heel penalty, which was definitely a penalty, yeah, which is the craziest.
Yeah, but this is so repetitive. He's always getting caught.
So I agree on that.
He's always tackling with his goal derby as well, the wrong way around.
But he, most of the time, he gets the ball.
Yeah, but bad technique.
That's just a tackling technique, though. I think the issue was, I think Klopp wants to bowl him that high, obviously,
because if he wants him that high,
you're going to leave space in behind, but especially
Andy's saying it there. Klein doesn't get caught like that constantly, and they're both pushing at the same level. They are both going up, but
I think Moreno's quicker.
This is the problem. What I can't understand is he makes 70 yards to get back to the player, and rather than making that extra 1 yard to be in front of him and make the tackle, he goes in from behind.
Yeah.
And sometimes he gets him or gets the ball. Other times he is going to get a red for the type of fucking off the ground challenges he makes.
Look, he's erratic. It'll calm down. Klein's 4 years older than him. You know, and played in the league for a long time. Yeah. I think Klein gets caught, not as much, but as he does get caught.
Mm.
I mean, he fouled Sterling 3 times yesterday. Mm. You know, I was surprised. He's lucky he never got sent off. Mm. You know, Klein, he got beat, and Sterling had a poor game.
Yeah.
Like, look, I raved about the two of them, and I said, geez, like, for the first time in a long time, you have two, what you would describe as quality players, like, you know, they are quality players.
Yeah.
But one worries me a lot now, just given that, you know, going in the last 5 or 6 games, especially, and that's what I know.
Yeah.
And I'm not surprised people are getting on his case, because, you know, for one stage, we did kind of think this was a long term.
But how much does a good defensive midfielder help them, though? You know what I mean? Sweeping up some of that stuff behind.
Yeah, and drifting across both sides. He's got to help both fullbacks.
And better centre-halves helps. Better goalkeepers help. Do you know what I mean? It's like, all of a sudden, I'm not saying he's not an issue. I'm saying he would not be in the top 10.
If you have more quality out there, and you're attacking more of the game, he's not going to get exposed as much. You're not going to have teams being as adventurous against us and getting the ball forward quickly. Be a bit less, you know, be more reluctant.
Yeah, and we shouldn't throw the baby out with the bathwater here. City are a very good side. They're a very good attacking side. I mean, their front three, you know, of Silva, Aguero, and Sterling. I mean,
and they have Kevin De Bruyne out injured. You know, that's
£100 million worth of talent there. You know, in a front three.
And the rest,
it's phenomenal. That and to watch them yesterday when they were clicking, you know, they had like a 20-minute spell where they just, you know, really went through us. I mean, nobody can defend against that. Yeah. Never mind two old men and a kid who doesn't know where he is half the time.
Three men and a baby.
Yeah.
Look, we brought that to one to me when Colo was coming on. Says, Jesus, Lucas and Colo, if you get penalties here, will you don't break?
And
they did.
Yeah. If we'd won that yesterday, City, as much as I wouldn't have cared, but it would have been a robbery.
Well, see, they bottled it up to that, up to the point of penalties, and then they were clinical.
Yeah, they
were. And they were clinical with it.
Have you... We've all watched games, and because it was Liverpool, I wouldn't have said it yesterday, but like, if you were watching two neutrals there, two teams that you didn't follow, 1-0 up, missing sitters after sitter, you're going to say they're going to get a goal.
Like, as a club that, you know, has talked about nothing but Istanbul for the last 11 years, we shouldn't forget that we've been on the other side of that.
Yeah.
You know what I
mean? Yeah. Yeah. 68% of the time, Liverpool won penalties more than any other fucking team out there.
Last three trophies was penalty shootouts.
We haven't won a tournament without the penalty shootout since 96, is it? No, 2001.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, the United 2-0.
Oh, no, the Carling Cup.
Oh, 2003.
Yeah, 2003. Still a long time, like, you know?
Yeah.
We've only won one trophy in 10 years, though, I think. No.
Yeah, that's probably right.
2012.
So, I'm obviously got the DSC.
I
mean, that's why
my life ended that year. It was 2012,
and then they sacked Kenny. Jesus, my life was over.
So I suppose, as we're saying there, it's a case whereby everybody feels confident going into the summer that Jurgen Klopp knows what he wants, knows where he's going to go and get it, and it may not be the big high profile names, but there's that element of trust that maybe hasn't been there with Rodgers for quite a while. And you know, I suppose what we're forgetting, we've City again in 2 days' time, don't we? Yeah. Wednesday night.
Yeah, Wednesday. Yeah. I mean, just, you know, going into the summer and transfers and all that kind of stuff, and we've debated transfers, Rodgers, transfer committee a million times, right? But I think a lot of us have been quite consistent saying, you know, either let him pick the players or let the committee pick.
Yeah.
You know, let him stand and fall one way or the other. This mixes shit. But what's clear here is Klopp's going to buy the players.
Mm.
You know, that's...
Yeah, committee's going to give him a help.
Committee will give him
which
help.
Which he wants.
But he's going to say...
Yeah. Put it this way, the two signings we've made so far never happened if Rodgers is still there.
Totally. Yeah, absolutely.
100%, there's no chance Grujic or Matip is coming to us.
And he's got two players there, hadn't spent any money or spent very little.
£5 million.
You know, so he's going to go now. Mm. You know, there's a raft of central midfielders we're linked to, and I think you're saying an attacker. But he's got to sign a goalkeeper.
Mm.
I mean, we haven't even talked about Mignolet, but I mean,
he got back to Germany. He has to. Portland will be too expensive, and
Butler's not good enough anyway.
He'll go back to Germany. I'd say.
Mm.
Yeah, like,
that's right.
Yeah, I think he's
Leno or Horn.
We need Phil. Phil's an expert in goalkeepers.
I watched
Horn a few times, and
he's good.
It's not top corner stuff for him. He does everything right. Comes for crosses, doesn't flap when he comes. He'll catch it.
Yeah,
makes the right decision.
Yeah,
he can kick well.
I've not watched him kick better than
Mignolet anyway. Yeah. But that's not
hard. I think all four of us in this room can kick better.
So it's just, you know, you'd be a 7 out of 10 every week.
Yeah. Yeah.
Save the ones you should save. Don't worry about the ones that are in the top end. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, Peter Cech. That's what we need. Just nothing flash. Just saved everything. You know,
gets beaten when he should be beaten. It's rare you say, okay, you had the couple of flaps versus West Ham at the beginning of the season. I don't think there's many times since the first day of the season that you can say, Jesus Christ, Cech should have done better on that.
Cech's not the hair. We're saying that once again.
No, it is. Yeah. Like, and even if we get away with it, it is once again.
Well, imagine how we're nervous sitting at home watching games, wondering what could happen. Like, the rest of the team, absolutely no faith in.
100% that seeps into your centre, into your centre backs and your back four.
Yeah.
No question.
I'd say whether the stage might have passed, but he would have liked a breakout of the team.
Yeah.
I read a thing about Dudek saying after he dropped the
clanger,
after the World Cup, he said, I wanted to come out of the team.
Mm.
And he says, I couldn't. And he says, I just got worse.
Yeah. It's very rare that goalkeepers don't have a moment like that and go down. I mean, if you think of like just a Liverpool alone, you know, Vestervelt, Dudek, Reina, Kirkland, James, all had that moment or a game or a run of games where they've just like balls up and never recovered from it. I mean, David James went on to have a much better career after he left Liverpool than he ever did.
Same with Brad Friedel.
I mean, if there was ever an example, it's Friedel.
For how
he recovered after Liverpool, it's phenomenal, really.
And we do something to football.
We do something.
It does happen. I mean, there was like last year, Tim Howard was one of the better goalkeepers in the league, and this year he's nearly as bad as me.
Bartes at United. He was brilliant for 2-3 seasons, and suddenly he falls off a cliff. Chesney at Arsenal, everyone thought he was going to be brilliant. Lehmann at Arsenal. It does happen that these goalkeepers just, it's almost like once they begin to decline, it just goes so fast.
Like every player has a dip. I suppose Henderson's going through that at the moment. Strikers constantly go through them. When a goalkeeper goes through them, it's never more noticeable.
Yeah, and it's hard to bounce back from it. Now, to be fair to Mignolet, he made 3 unbelievable saves. I mean, the one from Aguero onto the post, that's an unbelievable save.
Yeah.
And then 2 point blank saves as well, which...
I think it could have been, for his confidence, like, you've been there and he knows I've made a fucking hell out of here.
Yeah.
And then, but to come back from it, you want the ground to swallow you up, you want to get off the pitch as soon as you can, and to come back and make 3 top saves like that, hopefully, might get a bit of an upturn.
The problem with Mignolet is, it's like Skrtel, right? He'll have good games. Like, you might have 5 good games in a row, but that error, that fuck up is never far away. Same as Skrtel. Skrtel goes through these few games and suddenly everyone's going, look at him, he's a monster, he's unbelievable, blah, blah, blah. And then he does a Skrtel.
The teams and they think Skrtel's the dog's bollocks.
You hear people say it now.
You didn't watch Liverpool a lot of time and you've seen them a match of the day.
Yeah.
And you see the odd mistake, but you see goals from them every so often.
Yeah.
You see mad tackles from every so often. Mm. You see like good players.
The one to slide across it.
You would think, I fancy him on our team.
You can always tell like journalists, like we watch Liverpool every week, but most people don't, you know, but you can always tell when they put their teams together who Liverpool skirtles all
over. You know, Ian Wright was like 4 or 5 months ago saying he'd go with Arsenal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You can have it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, like, when you're a fan, like, you tend to scrutinise everything, like, you know, you're down to very fine details. Then we also forget about what our players' deficiencies as well, like, because we get run away with the likes
we
of
do the exact
Sacco.
Same. We do the exact same thing with other teams as well. We don't scrutinise any other team in the Premiership to the level that we do Liverpool, because we get, thankfully, to see 99% of Liverpool games live. Totally. So you're looking at Spurs. I guarantee you, if you had a Spurs fucking the Tottenham Spurs trippers.
We
should be very shiny
over
that. Is a good centre back or not? Koscielny for Arsenal.
This
is the point. I tell you, he was a world beater compared to Gabriel beside him. He was, but yeah, exactly.
So how do you judge? You know, I would say he's a very, very good centre half.
But I guarantee you, there's Arsenal fans nitpick and say he does this wrong. He does this wrong. Yeah. Does that. Same with the Vertonghen and whoever. Every team does it to their own players.
It's normally when you talk to a fan of the opposition, it's then you realise that player's pretty shit, and you start watching it.
Yeah.
I didn't think Mertesacker was only gone to shit. But like
when someone mentions it,
hate him, and now all of a sudden you're oh god, Jesus, he is.
It's like Tim Howard. I never noticed Tim Howard just completely falling off a cliff until I heard some Evertonian talking about it, and I was like, fuck
actually. Two of my mates are Blues, as I've said loads of times, and they absolutely like they fucking vehemently despise Howard. Like, and it's just like, so how is this fucker still in the team? Yeah. And you know, who is it, Robel or something?
He's fucking not much.
He's not much better. But they're still saying at least we have something that resembles a goalkeeper.
At least he saves things.
To give two goals away. Like, and it really is a race with Mignolet and Howard at the moment to see who's the worst keeper in the Premiership, you know?
The two of them are. They must be down relegation zone anyway.
You'll never win a league without a top class goalkeeper.
No,
simple as that. Never going to win the league.
And the problem is,
I think you'll never win, have success without a few elements. And a keeper is a huge one because they can save you 10-15 points a season. Well, I've said about partnership. Yeah. They don't even have to be the most amazing defenders.
Just like Morgan and
Hibbie together.
Aren't you and Hibbie at the time were a great partnership.
Yeah.
But like Hibbie was only coming into the Liverpool, and Aren't you was never brilliant.
Yeah.
But they were such a fucking great partnership, and they built up a relationship. And then you go through the team, and you've got a leader in the middle of the park, and then up front you have a striker that scores goals. You won't win things without all them elements.
I agree. Yeah.
Look, it is just disappointing, but it's a bit more than just quality through the team. It has to click, it has to work, there has to be a relationship between them all. We're fucking miles away from that at the moment.
Yeah, and you know what, we're miles away from it, but I think it mightn't be as big a leap as we think it is to get there.
You think he needs to get, like, 7 fellas that are in his head that are nailed on every week.
And then
he has the.
When you look at it,
you do that over 2 seasons.
Spurs are changing two players a week, maybe. Same with Leicester. You know, they brought in the right fold yesterday. I think that was the only change in their last few games. And you're saying you don't win a league without a good keeper. You don't win a league without. You don't get top four without that now. Because ultimately, top four is as tough nearly as winning. Like, you look at it now, you look at Spurs, City, Arsenal, and Leicester. That's still a scrap, and that's going to normally around about sort of early March you see the fourth place team, maybe even the third place team, start to drop off. I'm not certain we'll see that. No, I think we could go into mid-April and still have four teams
then,
capable of winning that league.
Looking to next season, then Chelsea will be better. It'll be better.
Yeah. Well, Chelsea would be third if the season started when Hiddick took over.
He's
really turned them around.
He has. No, he's not turned them into an amazing team. They've drawn a lot of games. Yeah. This has been a weird season whereby.
I don't think that necessarily, if it is Conte who comes in, jump back up to challenge for the title necessarily, but they'll be far better.
Of course, could take him. I mean, you know, Italian managers, you don't get a lot of. Well, Ranieri might win the league this year, but like, you know.
Well, Ranieri's been in the Premiership.
Yeah,
before.
We don't get a hit. There's not a long history of like great Italian managers coming into England and doing really well. But I think Conte will do well at Chelsea. I mean, as gutted as I am about how our season's gone, at least we've got Klopp. I mean, imagine being an Arsenal fan.
Yeah.
I mean, fucking hell. I mean, if Klopp win the league this year, he's never going to win the league.
I've had this conversation, though, and I'll probably get slaughtered for it, though. I don't know if I care as much about winning cups and trophies anymore as just enjoying watching football every week.
Oh, yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and if you had to go back to maybe winning a cup once every 3 years under the way we played football for Benitez, say, for example, or Hodgson, although Hodgson wasn't successful, but that type of football in order to get results,
yeah,
I'd take the enjoyable football most weeks and be the new.
I think that's what Klopp has done for me anyway, certainly, is like, you know, he's infectious the way he goes about things.
Yeah.
You know, I love everything he does, you know, in terms of his attitude. Like after the game on Sunday, you know, when he gets interviewed and he's like, I can't believe it, Duffy said shit, but he's like, yeah, we all feel shit. We feel totally shit. But it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, they believe them all.
You know,
we're going to have to tomorrow. If I was allowed to say shit, I'd say shit, but I'm not allowed to say it.
We'll sell it twice.
You know, and I just thought, even like before the penalties, he was basically going around to the team going, we're fucking lucky to be here, lads. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, big smile.
Don't fucking worry about it. Look, enjoy all of this. Enjoy the stadium. Don't worry about it. And I just think the other thing I really like about him is, and it was a great article by Tony Barrett, he just has supreme self-belief.
Yeah.
He totally believes he's going to get it right. So, you know, little setbacks like this, doesn't matter. He knows where he's going. He knows what he needs to do.
Yeah, I want to see him managing us for the next 6 to 8 years.
Yeah.
Regardless of what happens in the next two seasons. Even if we don't get Champions League football for the next 2 years, I want him to be given the time. Regardless, just trust him.
Yeah.
Trust his ways of doing things and give him that chance. And if he's not done anything for us after 4 or 5 years, truth is, whoever we bring in isn't going to turn things around in the season and fucking... We're fucking jinxed as it is. So,
well, the truth of it is, if Klopp can't
do it, then
the impact of managers is actually much smaller than even we thought it was. And I don't think the impact of managers is that much anyway.
Yeah,
you know, the reality is, you could put anyone in charge of City with that team. Okay, not anyone, but pretty much anyone in charge of that team, they finished top four.
A lot of professional managers, you can put it. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
You know, there are managers that outperform, and then there's managers that consistently underperform, but most managers get a team to...
There's a lot of variables. A lot of managers come in at the wrong time. And they're good managers, but it just wasn't the time. Wasn't.
Look at Pardew. Pardew was meant to be like the next big thing, and you know, the next England manager, and he's just lost, what is it, 8 games out of 9?
Yeah.
And they could actually go down now.
I don't think they've won in 10, have they?
Yeah.
Cruz not scoring goals anymore, are they? Like,
we're rocking into town on Sunday, so...
Yeah, that'll be the
fourth.
Dwight Gale will be fit.
Typical Liverpool. Team hasn't won for weeks.
I was waiting for Villa to absolutely bounce us. It just so happened that it went the other way around.
It's like United. United now in form.
Yeah.
You know, just by the time they play us now, you'll have Martial will be back, Rooney will be back, their centre halves will be back.
Listen, I don't mind that so much. You know, if you can't get United being in form, out form, it doesn't matter. You're getting them in a cup. You're going to be playing them. And
the reality is,
game.
You know, United in the Europa League or United in any competition, it's like a final.
Yeah.
So they'll be up for both it. Teams will be sought for it. It'll be a hell of a...
I'd say both teams are happy with the draw, I would imagine.
Yeah.
You would, because they'll both sell out
fans.
Now. Yeah.
Yeah. They're both each looking at each other and going, we can do these.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know what I mean? There's not one
with
team...
With the other teams that
that you could have got.
Does. Rate of 11 previous winners are in the last 16.
I mean, you'd rather United than Dortmund.
You don't want Sevilla, you don't want, because they just have a knack of winning the fucking thing. You don't want Dortmund, you don't want Napoli at the minute. You know what I mean? They're three teams immediately.
The reward, like, not only is it bragging rights thing, the reward of winning this puts you into a serious end of this competition.
You
win this, and then all of a sudden you're going, it's actually realistic that we can win this.
Yeah. It's also big, you've got the big European nights then.
Yeah.
Because you'd be playing a Dortmund or a Napoli or a whatever, you know. So, route to the final could end up being, you know, United, Napoli, you know, fucking Dortmund, Sevilla, whatever.
I think us getting past United is very important, not just for the sake of beating them, not for the sake of getting to a quarter final, but for the experience that it can give a lot of these players as a club. You know, they're looking, in the same way Leicester have no doubt benefited from the run they went on at the end of last season. You know, there's no question that that's made a big impact.
He's going to want to finish strong. And
I don't think he let them tail off.
No, he wants to win every game. That's actually been to his detriment since he's come to the club, because there's games he probably shouldn't have gone all out in. But I think that's one of his big learnings, is like, he wants to win every game, so he needs a squad that can do that. That's why he's so pissed off that we ended up blowing out all these players like Markovic and people like that he couldn't bring back.
Okay, so where do we feel we are for City? How do we see ourselves lining up? What do we make of it? How do we see City lining up?
Well, City need to win, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, they have to win if they got any chance of the title. It depends, right? It wouldn't surprise me if Klopp went full strength again and just went, fucking fuck this now, I'm not losing again. Come on, we're going to we'll get our revenge type of thing.
Nearly right? Putting out the exact same team and saying, go and prove you can play better than you.
It would not surprise me at all.
I don't think there's any other way he can go. No. City, like, you're putting out. You can get at City defensively, they aren't great, a lot of company is back, but they have the potential to rip you asunder.
He might play Origi over Sturridge.
Yeah, well, I don't think there's anyone out there who, like, Klopp is a rational man. There would be no one out there yesterday that let him down. Like, we can give out about Meg, but he did come back and make a few saves and all. There's nobody there that he can say, you let me down today.
Yeah, you're definitely gone.
So, if that was his full strength team yesterday, he's going to play his full strength team on Wednesday.
The only thing is, it depends on how physically they are. Like, Sturridge could do it.
Sturridge might be fit.
I don't think he'll play Sturridge. Yeah. But apart from that, I don't see him, Lallana might come in for Coutinho, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, that might be the two.
The only chance is because they can't.
Or he doesn't feel he's going
to
get.
Anyway, he struggled to play.
But Lovren's back, I think. I think Lovren's back in training, so Lovren might come in.
What's the story with Elari? I've asked so many people on Twitter today.
He's gone back to Villa, mate.
Is he?
I don't think he's injured.
Dave say he's doing a strength and fucking conditioning program to beef himself up. Now, how he knows that, we don't know, but he definitely said he's on his
own. Who said this?
Dave Hendrick. Now, I don't know how he knows how would you know? But he said he's on a gym. So. He's doing some sort of gym program to beef up.
I wonder, actually, was he ineligible for the tournament as well, ineligible for the Europa League and ineligible for
he wasn't added to the group, was he?
So he could have been ineligible, maybe that's what it was.
Because you're only allowed to make two changes, I think, to Europa.
But he's got no future.
I'd be gutted
if I was Corker. Like, he hasn't had a fucking sniff. Like, how doesn't he get a game?
He got himself a half.
Yet again, Corker would probably be. You'd probably find Corker's ineligible from Southampton.
He's eligible for the Europa.
That's because he put him in. Yeah, he put him into that.
But I mean, against Augsburg, I'm surprised he didn't get a run out there. Instead of Lucas to centre half. But I don't know.
So, he evolved on Wednesday?
Well, did Lucas get the game on Thursday because he was expecting to play him there on Sunday?
That's exactly why.
So that's why you don't play Cocker. Yeah.
Just to familiarise himself with what's expected.
But I think he'll play the same side. I mean, I think he might bring in a different centre half to Torre. And he might swap Sturridge and Coutinho on for I'd like to see Origi get a goal, actually.
Yeah.
I think he's been actually very impressive.
I didn't even think of Moreno when I was saying that. It's probably the only letdown performance. Yeah, yeah. He was Shepard hooked. It wasn't like this is a tactical change here.
Flanagan will play, yeah. So there's two or three.
Why is Flanagan getting in ahead of Smith?
I think Flanagan's a more competent player and more experienced player.
Defensively, he's better.
Yeah.
Obviously, going forward, Smith has great delivery and
he's
good. He's pacey, but I think Flanagan's.
I like just going by Flanagan.
I'd like to see Flanagan thrown in there against City. Like he's impressed in big games in the past.
Well, he's got an opportunity now to stake a claim. Yeah. If he comes in on Wednesday and does.
If he does a job,
Marino.
Just like Joe Gomez did at the start of the season. If you come in and do a job.
Yeah.
He deserved to stay in until he stopped doing the job. And like Dave mentioned there, I wouldn't mind seeing Origi come in. Of course, I want Sturridge to be playing, but I thought Origi came on, played well, looked sharp, wanted to get involved.
Give Origi 70 minutes and then get Sturridge on.
It might be just to spin it the opposite
way. But he looks confident all of a sudden. Really. Yeah. Like, he looks like he's.
The Southampton game seemed going to be a war.
I think coming on and getting that goal against Villa straight away makes a massive difference. Yeah. He wants to bully defenders now.
The first time we seen him, he was very timid, wasn't he?
For a lot of games.
He was heavily involved in our goal yesterday as well.
He loses the ball and immediately he fights to win that ball back and it breaks and I thought Henderson had fucked it up with his bandy back heel you know what I mean.
He arguably should have scored as well
with the header.
The header.
Yeah.
To be fair, I like Origi. I actually, I think he's a real player.
He's kind of a cross between Sturridge and Benteke, isn't he?
In terms of,
if you were to like morph them. Now, I'm not saying he's got the ability.
You can understand why the Belgian set up.
I was just about to say that.
You can understand, totally. Especially with their team, like they're full of stars and full of like quality and pace. Yeah. It's wasted on a big stake up front.
Yeah. No, Lukaku probably gets ahead of him now because of the season he's had, but
he's more like Lukaku than he is like Benteke.
You know what I mean? Yeah, Lukaku's Martin without Benteke. He does this similar players before Benteke came to Liverpool. It's only when you're watching a week out you learn how limited.
This season is probably the first season, yet again, you know, talking to the fellas who are having this season is the first season they've felt that he's actually gone and added that aggression to his game.
Yeah.
You know, he was a player, according to them, that would go out games quite easily if he got a little kick or if a big fucking, you know, like a Hoot or like a James Collins or someone like that put it up to him. Yeah. He was quite happy to just.
But I'd say that's Klopp.
Keep his head down.
Do you know what I mean? I'd say that's because Klopp put him in from the beginning and he's backed him every time. Like, he's put him on the bench every time. He's picking him ahead of Benteke. I'd say he's in his ear all the time going, you know.
That's fucking massive yesterday, isn't it?
Yeah.
£32.5 million.
Well, I think they're right in that thing.
Yeah.
He's got nothing. Benteke done great for them, so he beats his drum, so he doesn't really going on giving them stick. We said to him, look,
we're not the same.
How many goals did he get last season? I think he was injured for a little bit. I think he got like 15, but he got 12 in the last 14 games.
Yeah.
So he said to me, mate, so he got 3 goals from August till fucking Sherwood came in. I said, that's fucking brutal.
Yeah.
He was injured a bit. Sherwood came in, he got in his ear, probably told him, yeah, this, yeah, that.
Yeah.
12 goals in 14 games.
But and it's not just that, but Villa towards the end of the season are nearly in a nothing to lose situation. Yeah. So they're, everything goes to Benteke. Yeah. Everything is get it to Benteke, get it. But that's their sole focus, and they players who had delivery, and we don't.
And look, while we're on Benteke, Benteke is a very good striker, right? And his record speaks for itself. Over 3 seasons before joining Liverpool, he's a 1-2 striker, right? So the reality is, he is a very good striker, but we all said this when we bought him. I was more in favour of it because I thought Rodgers had a plan. I was like, there's all, you know, you don't buy Benteke.
You made the mistake of adding logic to Brendan Rodgers.
Because I was like, there's no way you spend this money. There's no way you argue with your boss and say, I want this guy, if you don't go, and here's how I'm going to use him. And then we just plonked him in and expected him to be Suarez. And I'm like, you got to be fucking kidding me. Like, and then Klopp's coming in going,
you mean you're not the Belgian Suarez?
And then Klopp's like, well, I don't play like this, so I'm not going to play him.
Yeah.
You know, so I feel a bit bad for him because I tell you that he could have gone to Chelsea, right? Then he'd be leading the line for it.
He'd probably score
15 goals.
He might still end up there.
Yeah, he could.
It's very much the case of what Rodgers did with Andy Carroll when he came in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a case of, you don't suit my style of play. Yeah. Sorry, mate, no hard feelings. But
we're not going to make, what, 15 million on Benteke?
We won't make. We won't get that back. Oh, no, I see him going 20 plus easily. The amount of TV money and the clubs in the Premiership are so
as you say, you said yourself, he's still like an attractive,
he is, it's just which team's going to buy him for 20 million.
West Ham,
there's money. Stoke
could always rely on West Ham,
you know, but
they're going to the new stadium.
There's loads of things. Sure, even Villa have money again,
if they stay up, they do,
well, they're down now,
I was worried the day that we went
Newcastle
because they were after winning the previous week, and I thought if they could beat us, then
They're on a real goal, and they just didn't turn. Fucking terrible. I mean, Carragher, what did Carragher call him? Like, the worst team he's ever seen.
Yeah, and they were.
So there's normally 2 or 3players on a team that go down that it's in the league, but
they haven't got a single.
They don't have a single player who looks Premiership quality. Yeah.
No.
They don't.
No one's got a
red. And they actually have the one keeper who's considerably worse than Howard and Mignolet in fucking in Guzan.
Bonus fucking brilliant as well, the man
that came in from. Yeah.
Poor Villa. Imagine being a Villa fan. I mean, see, this is where you've got to put it all into perspective. Like, we're the Liverpool fans. We all like to bleat and moan and all that. But I mean, imagine being a West Brom fan.
Yeah.
I mean, fucking.
My family are West Brom fans.
What have you got to look forward to as a West Brom fan?
Yeah. Tony Pulis,
Ricky Lambert, and Anicca be up front. Like, you know? Come on.
While Berahino sits on the bench. Right, boys. So, what's the predictions for Wednesday?
Rain.
2-2.
Doot doot.
Mm. Doot doot. What about yourself, Shane?
2-1 win.
2-1 win. Davey?
Sneaky little 1-0 Liverpool.
Okay, and I'm going to be the defeatist one and say I think we get beaten 2-1. I think City are you know, it's a yet again another big game for them. I think.
Sorry, you're a little bit dickhead.
Thanks, man. Cheers. That prediction or not, I'm a dickhead. It doesn't matter. Right then.
Would you bet against Liverpool? Would you ever bet against Liverpool?
I always bet against Liverpool.
It's like them having an affair.
Oh my God! I love having affairs on my wife.
Why betting against Liverpool?
Why betting on Paddy Power just knocking the shit out of her? Come on, City! Watching the match, just banging hookers, betting against Liverpool. Texting my wife, telling her to get a dinner on.
I wouldn't back us either, though. I wouldn't back against us, but I wouldn't back us.
Never include them in an accumulator.
No.
Too.
For the record, I'm not married.
But he does bang hookers.
You try laughing like you don't.
No.
Yeah.
We make love.
To hookers.
Alright
then. There's
always podcasts sponsored by hookers.
Yeah, we haven't had any
sponsored by Irish Escorts.
We haven't had any Heineken yet. Irish Escorts.
I don't even know.
And we keep mentioning Heineken, and they still won't send us any Heineken.
We actually have fuck all Trippers chats. So
no one listens to us anymore.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, so what?
Make up some questions.
Yeah, I did last week.
Yeah.
Half of those questions didn't even come in. Anyway, Phil's not going to edit this.
Who would you thank in your Oscar speech?
No one.
Probably yourself.
Yeah.
Would you just start singing that song from the Golden Girls?
Their speeches are horrible, though, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
They're embarrassing.
Like, the problem is, you look at movies and you really like actors until you see them up on stage as themselves, and then you realise they're mostly wankers. You know what I mean? Like,
so far removed from reality.
Yeah.
And it's the thank you people that I don't get, because if you're on the receiving end of that, what does that mean to you? Yeah. Like, Kate Winslet thanks her fucking hairstyle. Like, who gives a fuck? Like, I want to thank this person. It's like, just listing names.
Yeah.
It's not personal. If you got up there and just thanked one person, and said, look, I want to spend all the time I've got just talking about, you know.
Yeah. Thanks to everybody who was involved. Yeah. Like, thanks to everybody who was involved in the picture and this one person.
Yeah, I just want to talk about this one person.
This is the reason why.
Yeah.
You know, but you're better off just going up and saying, fucking, thanks everybody. Cheers. Good luck. You know, this
don't get pissed.
Yeah, this 10 minutes shit. Like, Leonardo DiCaprio last night was banging on about fucking global warming and stuff like that. And fair enough, I understand where he's coming on that. They experience certain things about it during the filming and whatever else. But no one is that's not making a change. That's not making a difference.
There was a great speech. Jim Carrey was presenting a Golden Globe, and if you get a chance to watch it on YouTube, you should. And he's like, I am 2-time Golden Globe winner, Jim Carrey. When I go to bed at night, I'm just not a man going to sleep. I am 2-time Golden Globe winner, Jim Carrey, going to sleep. And then at the end, he's like, this stuff is really important. I mean, don't get me wrong, there's probably 100 billion stars out there with infinite life that we know nothing about. But in the terms of right now, this is really important. And he's just skewering everyone who gets up and makes all those stupid speeches and thanking everyone. If it's on YouTube, we should go and have a look at it, because he obviously does it better.
Where's the funny bit?
Cool story then.
That's literally the best story ever.
That's the end of it. Fuck all of it.
And we fade out.
We have no chats.
No chats. There's literally no chats. He's now going to do, hello, I'm really real. And then he's going to come in, who would you fucking thank for, or you, whoever asked that. And that's it.
There is questions. From my same questions earlier.
One person asked
a
question. He said, on a scale of 1 to John Burton, how much does the phrase Anfield South annoy you?
That doesn't annoy me at all.
Well, we're Anfield West, so what the fuck can we say?
What? Doesn't annoy me at all. Like, it would annoy me if that was like a Twitter made up thing, a real modern football thing, but that's gone years. That's gone since the 80s.
Yeah.
Because "amp yourself" is not a scouse term. It's just it's a legitimate term that Liverpool fans
use. They made it up.
So it's bad as you say with the scouse terms, which we've done to death on this pod. But people who like say things like "yada," which is like. But when you're from like London or something, like, do you know what I mean?
Or Ireland.
Yeah, but I've noticed that.
The amount of wankers on Twitter from Ireland.
That's UK now, that. Yeah, that thing to say. Look, that's
such a very Scouse thing, like, you know?
No, I don't think so.
Listen, even if it was a Scouse thing, even if it then spread to England, there's no excuse for a Liverpool supporter in Ireland saying it. You're just a cunt. It's that simple. If you're saying your dad, you're saying boss, you're calling people la, yeah, any of that shit,
Bosta.
You're just a fucking cunt. And if you're listening to this and you're thinking, oh, I do that, you're a fucking cunt.
I love how you looked at the mic there. Yeah. Say that.
I mean,
yeah.
Don't be a cunt.
Well, I think it's just like young lingo now, 21, 22-year-old. Yeah. In England, like. I don't think it happens here.
I see a lot of around Twitter, and it's more like taking that joke and using it, like, do you know what I mean? But anyway, I don't know. Yeah, there's lots of annoying Scouse things. So no chats. So we're wrapping up.
Just waffling to kill a bit of time, bring us up to the hour mark. We're at 58-51. Done.
So I can't believe, like, no one listens to us anymore.
Yeah, he wasn't on.
Well, we had Trev, like, we'd get like 100 questions in.
That's good, people.
Fuck you, Trev.
It's good none of us retweeted it. It's like we don't care, so why should they care?
It's not like we don't care.
Plus, how many fucking would you rathers can you actually
We unfortunately got to the point where the same question was coming every day.
Would you rather wank off man out of things? No, sick.
Right. Tits. As you mentioned it, Dave, it seems like you put a bit of thought into that.
I put a lot of thought into it.
Right, that's us done.
Good stuff.
Okay, and that's a wrap. So quickly, I would like to say thanks to Astropark Tala for allowing us to record this, as always, every week. Astropark Tala, your place to go for all your five-a-side football needs. Shout out to the three lads who were here with me tonight, Andy Young, Dave Thomas and Shane Davron, who was on his first pod and hopefully not his last. A big thank you to you for listening, and we will chat to you soon. Thanks.
Turn off your laptop. We're on staycation.
I'm on TotalWine.com. They have so many rosés, chardonnays, and proseccos. It feels like a real vacation.
Wondrous selection, helpful guides, ridiculously low prices. Total Wine and more.
Ese último McNugget me toca a mí porque soy la mayor.
¿Y eso qué tiene que ver?
Los mayores se respetan.
Eso no existe, ¿cierto, mamá?
Ya, quédense tranquilas. Aquí hay otra cajita de McNuggets.
Respeto, ¿viste?
No hay rivalidad cuando hay McNuggets deal. Hay un deal para cada salida familiar en McDonald's. Compra uno de tus favoritos, como unos McNuggets de 10 piezas, una Big Mac, una Quarter Pounder with Cheese o un Filet Fish y te llevas otro por $1. Por tiempo limitado, precios y participación pueden variar. Válido para un producto de igual o menor valor.
Sports Social Podcast Network.